The immortal Dennis Brown right here, Marketing Pulpit International, New York edition. Sizzling 82 degrees outside here in Brooklyn, New York. And we're going to keep it hot right here in the studio as there are a lot of issues that we need to get to on the Marketing Pulpit. And we set it off every Monday from 10:30 to 11 in a podcast form. Oftentimes, I'm in the studio live. As of late, I haven't been able to, except on an occasional holiday. Most holidays, fortunately, fall on a Monday, so you can trust and believe that every Monday I'll be working hard for you at the Marketing Pulpit International, bringing you that information that's critical to you making decisions that enable you to expand capacity or bring on new talent. Or some opportunities that might be emerging in entertainment. That's what we do here at EastNewYorkManagement.net. And you can go online and see exactly what we do. EastNewYorkManagement.net. Again, that URL is EastNewYorkManagement.net. So there's been a lot of news lately. You know, I'm just wondering, and if we didn't have a podcast, I guess I would pose a question to the listening audience: how small businesses have been faring in this administration, which has been hostile. If you have a mom and pop type type operation, subchapter S, subchapter C, that sort of thing, where you're paying at the personal income level, and you're basically a one or two man show. I just wonder how you're faring in this climate of rampant corruption and dishonesty. It's just amazing. We know this stuff has existed from time immemorial, but to see it play out in our body politic is extraordinarily saddening. You expect that our institutions work, and they work well for the well-being of our citizenry. After all, this is what we elect and send our representatives to the U.S. Congress to do, to represent us, to represent our interests. And often they're divergent, admittedly. But, you know, I tell my students, certainly colleagues, friends, family, that, you know, at the end of the day, we have to stay in our lanes. And there is a huge component of the electorate that believes it is their sworn duty to worry about what the next man or woman is or is not receiving. I only care about the well-being of the citizenry, and if I have to pay a little more taxes in order to ensure that, I am not concerned with how they got in that position. I just pray and hope that they eventually emerge from that situation in such a manner as to enable them to enjoy what we used to know, quote-unquote, as the American dream. It doesn't seem to be happening as the current administration is recklessly engaging in embroiling the United States in turmoil and silly disputes. Why the Republicans behind the scenes, while we're focused on the antics of the ringmaster, the Republicans are behind the scene decimating the social safety net. We've seen evidence of this over the weekend as, I believe, Friday, or Thursday, either Friday or Thursday, while former director, FBI director James Comey was testifying before Congress about his interactions with Chump the Brain Dead comic Carnival Barker, the Republicans were behind the scenes voting to repeal Dodd-Frank, which is statute regulations that came into being as a direct consequence of the 2008 financial crisis that we found ourselves in, which cost the country trillions of dollars, or at least $1 trillion, to shore up some of the largest financial companies, banks, private banks, essentially. A lot of them didn't survive, but the ones that did emerge a lot stronger than they were before a crisis that was by their own making. I mean, it was driven by avarice, greed, primarily. So they repealed those regulations, something that the lobbyists have wanted for some time, which basically eliminates whole agencies that deal with that sort of misconduct. And so we're right back in the situation that we were in prior to Dodd-Frank. And what Dodd-Frank does basically is it doesn't allow private banks to do what public banks or banks that deal with the public or deal with not necessarily high net worth individuals, but the common Joe. It doesn't allow them to engage in risky transactions, basically, in layman's terms. A little more complex than that. I'm giving a simplistic definition of what it does, but certainly those policy wonks that want to go online and find out a little more, it's right there, but it's not for long, because that vote was successful. I believe it goes to the Senate now. I know in the House of Representatives, however, or lower chambers, we have a bicameral constitution or composition in our Congress. I believe it has to be reconciled in the Senate. And I don't quite know, they haven't done away with the legislative, nuclear option, which means that, it doesn't take a simple 51 vote majority to pass any legislation yet. And we're hoping it doesn't happen. We know Chump the brain dead comic carnival Barker has been pushing for it, but we're confident that last bastion of representation remains. At least that's our hope. Because certainly if that falls, then the minority party, or the party that's out of power, wields absolutely no influence. I mean, it's basically rule by decree. The party that's in power, and in this case, you have virtually every branch of government controlled by one political party, and it's extraordinarily dangerous for the reasons that we see playing out, or the reasons evident, in the news, quote unquote, fake news, not necessarily so. Reporters have their own biases, and certainly they bring those biases into the newsroom. But to accuse the entire fourth estate of generating false reports is frankly preposterous. I've had articles written about me that weren't necessarily flattering, and we all get annoyed and angry when we're misrepresented. I mean, it's just human nature. Positive self-regard is what we call it in the social sciences. Everybody wants to be thought of well. And so when someone is writing something that's negative about you that may or may not be true, we tend to take offense with good reason. So at any rate, the fourth estate really has to do its job and push back against normalization of this administration. Frankly, I've never seen anything like it. It's definitely illegitimate. It's boorish. It's amateurish. It's embarrassing. And Chump the Brain Dead Comic Carnival Barker should had never been allowed to ascend to the most powerful office on earth. Unfortunately, the VP is not much better. He's a liar. A religious zealot, a nut, some say a closeted homosexual. I don't know. I don't have any evidence to support at least the latter claim. But certainly he ran Indiana into the ground. That is a fact. He was embroiled in a really tough election prior to being picked as a comic as the comic the brain dead comic Carnival Barker running mate. So what we're hoping, and I know it's far fetched because obviously there's little or no integrity left in any of the branches, and I've argued about this here ad nauseum. Virtually no integrity left in any of the branches of government. Really isn't. And people would say, oh, well, our institutions work. They do not. The judiciary doesn't work. It's populated primarily by conservative white males, you know, who harbor their own biases and prejudice. Here's a guy, you know, I you know, without getting into my personal business, here's a guy that has filed 4,000 lawsuits and still found to be credible. Somebody that files, you know, a infinitesimal fraction of that is seen to be litigious. It's really, you know, the hypocrisy is glaring, and it's the hypocrisy of this whole situation that has me wondering. And Jonathan Capehart wrote a good article about this situation in the Washington Post. I don't typically read him. I'm not a fan, certainly, you know, of Mr. Capehart. You know, I believe he's a decent, if not good, journalist. Certainly, you wouldn't be able to write for the Washington Post if you did not have bona fide chops. Nevertheless, he wrote a really, really good article about something that we've been talking about here in the Marketing Pulpit for quite some time, prior to the election, that, you know, this is, you know, a lot of the angst that we see, a lot of the anger, a lot of the frustration, a lot of the incidents of police terror that we see evident in the United States as a consequence of Chump the Brain Dead comic Carnival Barker's election is fueled in large measure by racism. And this is what Capehart, this is the argument that Capehart made, but I've made that argument in numerous pieces on my blog. Just go to a Dennis Shipman blog. And also, if you just go to my website, www.eastnewyorkmanagement.net, I believe there's a way to get to the blog. As a matter of fact, I have a link up there where you could just click on the link by going to the website, www.eastnewyorkmanagement.net, and go to my blog. And I've written numerous essays on how racism has usurped the political process in this country. Certainly, this clown, this ringmaster's presidency is evidence of that. There's no other way to parse it. And I know I promised at the beginning of the year, in January 1st, that I wouldn't talk about Chump the Brain Dead comic Carnival Barker on my show. I cannot help it, however, simply because the danger that he poses to the least of those. And it's Sunday, and, you know, as a church-going person, I just had to say that the policies aren't in sync with our walk with Christ. And obviously, it's not a religious show, and I'm not going to get off in a rant, into a rant about religion. But I just wanted to say that because I think it's absolutely extraordinary that no one in the Republican Party seems to want to push back. If anything, they want to recklessly decimate the social safety net, which, you know, came into existence in the mid-30s, 1935, with the Social Security Act. And it was for orphans and widows because those persons were, when a husband at that point, you know, the husband was typically the breadwinner, and if something happened to him, they needed something Obviously, orphans and widows, and you know, shortly thereafter was expanded to encompass the disabled. Some subsistence, some means of subsistence, and you know, we had what we call almshouses at that time. You know, it came about, you know, late 1800s, around the turn of the century, the turn of last century, and they filled the void. But you know, what with the Great Depression, the government, I believe Roosevelt administration, was in at that point, and felt the need to do something a little more dramatic, and this led to the establishment of the social safety net the Republicans have been fighting ever since, and that was, you know, 1935, so you're talking almost over 100 years ago, or close to it. Let's take a break, and we'll come back on the other side of the break and finish sharing some thoughts with you. And you're back here at Marketing Bubble International, Brooklyn, New York edition with yours truly, Dennis D. Shipman, 82 degrees and sizzling outside, a high at 92, low of 80. So we're solidly in the midst of summer. Tomorrow we expect a high of 93. So we're going up by a degree. And on Wednesday, 94 with rain. So that's going to be interesting. At any rate, on the other side of the break, we're talking about Chump Brain Dead Comic Carnival Barkers and antics, and how the Republicans are using his antics to detract from the fact that they're decimating all the protections that were put in place during the Obama administration, basically trying to erase President Obama from the history books. It's shameful. It really is. And you can't be that ideologically, how would I say it, ideologically pure that you don't feel that he had any policies worth keeping it. I mean, they fought the guy for 8 years, and, you know, finally, I guess because he's out, they just want to erase him as a footnote and, you know, relegate him, rather, to being a footnote in history. I wonder how you feel. I wonder how the listening audience feels. I wonder if this ploy by the Republican Party is going to work. I don't know. I'm not ordinarily a cynic. I'm really not. I really try to be optimistic. But I guess at the end of the day, if I had to describe myself in one word, relative to politics, relative to ideology, philosophy, I would say, you know, pragmatic, you know, I'm a pragmatist, I really am. And I think that they're going to succeed to a degree in eliminating wholesale a lot of the Obama administration initiatives. And it's really shameful. Because they fought the guy tooth and nail for 8 years, didn't work with him. He had to legislate backwards. You know, we have what we call a unitary executive, so there's a lot of power in the presidency, and we see that exploited now by Chump the Brain Dead Comic Carnival Barker. So he had to enact a lot of his policies through executive orders, and the problem with executive orders is that they're just that, executive orders. So the next executive, in this case Chump the Brain Dead Comic Carnival Barker, came along and he did what he said he was going to do. And there were a lot of Negroes that were sitting around, you know, bemoaning the fact that Hillary Clinton had got embroiled in a scandal of her own making. You know, she was a victim of her own choosing. There's no doubt about it, you know. I believe had she been forthright, she could have easily overcome those negatives. But she made a conscious decision to obfuscate, and it lent fuel to the fire that then, began to rage around her and culminated, with the Comey revelations, in which he, in July, claimed that they had additional evidence as a consequence of their investigation of a Wiener, who was Huma Abedin, that's Clinton's chief of staff, close aide, charge d'affaires. Her husband, certainly a character right out of Ripley's, believe it or not, disgraced congressman from New York, was sexting some underage girl out of state. So as a direct consequence of his misconduct, he wasn't in office, he had already resigned. I believe he mounted a failed bid, obviously, for mayor of New York. So at any rate, when they seized her computer, because for some reason he was doing something on his wife's computer for whatever reason, and she had some material on there that may or may not have been classified. The bottom line is that, again, this is driven by hypocrisy, because virtually every single one of the people that, were talking or complaining loudest about Clinton, and I have my own complaints. I just exchanged a tweet with Jamal Simmons, a political operative, longtime political operative for the DNC, about this very issue. Neither the Clinton campaign nor the DNC spent any money with black media, and there was nary a word from any of these marquee Negroes that are on the air virtually every day, or certainly during the political season. They were the talking heads on all these outlets, MSNBC, which I no longer get, or CNN, which I also no longer get, but I do get their parent stations. In the case of CNN, there is no comparable parent station over the air. So if you don't subscribe to cable, then you're unable to get it. But these people were all on there, and I didn't hear anyone, including their political counterparts, speaking about the fact that Clinton, neither the Clinton campaign, Emily's List, all these DNC fundraisers spent any money with black media. Certainly we didn't get a call here at East New York Management, and we would have loved to have gotten one. We could have did narration, we could have developed some spots for them, or worked in collaboration with a prime contractor and did some mix down, some pre or post production, and we weren't allowed to do any of that, simply because we weren't given access. And I don't know many other black media organizations that were given access either. If you go to the big disc jockeys, on-air personalities, the Tom Joyners, and those guys that have syndicated shows, except for her surrogates, I don't believe they spent any money. I would love to get Tom Joyner on and actually pose that question to him, and maybe I will. I haven't had any guests on in quite a while, so I think I'll reach out to him and see. All he can do is not answer or say no. What the heck? Let's take another break and come back on the other side of the break and finish up. Thank you. back here at Marketing Pulpit International, New York edition, Brooklyn, in the house, with yours truly, Dennis D. Shipping on the mic, and we're doing it in podcast form tonight, folks. So no calls to the studio. I didn't give out the number, but some enterprising young soul will try to find a number and call in, and we absolutely will not be on the air until tomorrow at 10:30, hopefully. I don't know. I haven't checked with Gatewood to see if they have been, not him personally, but he executive produces MPI and does his own show, which airs on Fridays at 10:30 to, I believe, 11:30. I believe he has a one-hour show on his terrestrial on WOL AM right here in the Capital District, or right there, rather, in the Capital District. At any rate, talking about Trump, the brain dead comic carnival bar, how he's wreaking havoc on the body politic here in the United States. We're going to continue to talk about it. I promise not to at the beginning of the year, but so much fodder for talk radio, and this is what we do here on Marketing Pulpit. And we try to do it from a business perspective, but I sort of take a more expansive view, you know, sort of, you know, dramatic license, and really try to talk about things that are going to impact us, you know, because this certainly, you know, if our families aren't living well, and, you know, for whatever reason, we're not taking care of them, and they're, you know, they're in the social safety net, you know, a lot of these policies are going to directly impact them. So we're going to talk more about this over the coming weeks, if not months. You know, we don't believe that this guy has a real life in the White House left. This too shall end, and so will the show. So have a nice evening. We'll be back next week, Monday, 10:30 to 11:00.